Thank you. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 2, Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main road and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May some see and respond to God's invitation. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. Consider this your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address and contact information along with last week's sermons, both in text and audio on it, is www.JesusChristSaid.com. Just like the name of our ministry, run together, no spaces, JesusChristSaid.com. Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says, "The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived." That's our Bible reading for today from the Old Testament, Genesis, the 19th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. A friend of mine from school days, way back in school days here in Fort Worth, emailed me this week, the word of the week. Got it in the email several days ago now. He lives in Southern California, which may explain this unusual word. His word for the week was extirpate, E-X-T-I-R-P-A-T-E, extirpate. He is, by the way, an agnostic. That is, someone who doesn't know if there is a God or not. Actually, the true definition of agnostic is one who believes that it is impossible to know whether there is a God, or one who is skeptical about the existence of God but does not profess true atheism. So he's not sure that God exists. You know that for many years there have been phone lines to churches mostly called Dial a Prayer, where you call a number and they pray for you. It's wonderful. One of the things I pray that we have here at the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministry someday. But now I hear there is also a phone line that they call Dial an Atheist. It's got a phone number, and when you call it, it rings and it rings and it rings and it rings and no one ever answers. Well, now I suppose there is a phone line for agnostics, where you call the number and it rings, and God answers. Maybe. if there is a God, if there is even a phone at the other end of the line, if there is even a line, if we even exist. So my friend is not sure there is a God, but I love the word he sent anyway, extirpate. I looked up the definition of extirpate, and it means to destroy completely, to wipe out, to pull up by the root. When God invited us to the wedding of his son, Jesus Christ, God was inviting us to the revolution in the way human beings live. God was inviting us to the banquet of love that would replace the horrors of war, replace domination of one over another, a political power that enriches the special few and leaves most of us as outsiders. This is what Jesus Christ is telling us when he issues us the invitation to the wedding. From Luke 6:27, Jesus Christ said, "I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also." Now that's certainly a revolutionary concept in this cruel world. Love your enemies. What a revolutionary concept. But then Jesus Christ adds to this revolutionary concept by telling us in Mark 12:31 that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then finally, Jesus Christ tops those two revolutionary commands to love your enemies and love your neighbor as yourself. So that, well, Jesus Christ says it best. Jesus Christ said, "I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Love your enemies, love your neighbor as yourself, and finally, we are to love one another. Now hold on, you say. Is this the same God, the one as Jesus Christ, who said, "Love your enemies," that destroyed not one but two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed them and everyone in the cities? Extirpation. Well, that's true that the cities and everyone in the cities were destroyed, extirpated, as my friend would say, destroyed completely. But God didn't destroy everyone. God saved a remnant to carry on. God saved Lot and his wife and his two daughters. Four people were saved that day, so it was not a complete extirpation. God always saves some remnant. But everyone who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah had, and everyone who lives today, has the opportunity to attend that wedding that Jesus Christ was talking about in his parable. Everyone alive today that hears the word of God preached over this radio station or in some pulpit, even if it's preached by a sinner, the word is the word of God, not of the messenger. Too many people today hate the messenger because they don't like the message they hear. The message is to go to the wedding, to become a part of the revolution for Jesus Christ. Or, of course, you can reject it. You can reject the invitation. Abraham, when he found out God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, pleaded to God to spare the cities. And don't think that those cities were destroyed because of homosexuality. They weren't. Those cities were destroyed because the inhabitants sinned and kept on sinning even after warning from God to stop. It's not what sin we do. It's that we sin that offends God. It's all these sins that offend God. Abraham asked God if he, Abraham, could find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom. Would God save it? Well, here's the way the conversation between God and Abraham went. In Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, well, Abraham says, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." That's from Genesis chapter 18. Then Abraham thought there might not be 50 righteous people in Sodom, so he began to bargain down God, first to 45, then to 40, and finally got God down to 10 righteous people in Sodom. But there weren't even 10 righteous people in Sodom, only Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Lot had two soon-to-be sons-in-law, but they just listen to this, they just laughed at Lot when he said that God was about to destroy the city and they had to flee. So there were four righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God allowed them to escape extirpation. And our parable told us today of the wedding banquet. Jesus Christ said, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. What God is telling us here is that those high officials in church, those with power and money, those who should be the ones who are so blessed by God that they of all people should be at the wedding of Jesus Christ, that they should be there for the feast, that they, like the two sons-in-law in Sodom, turned their backs on God, insulted God, refused God, laughed at God, refused to become a part of the revolution that Jesus Christ brought to this world. Instead, God extirpated the very ones that had been invited and had his servants go into the streets to get those off the streets, the ordinary folks, the outsiders, the sinners. In other words, you and me, brother and sister. And when we look at Lot, he certainly is an outsider. Lot and Abraham have had their feuds over the years. From Genesis 13:8, the Bible says, "Then Abram," now this is in the days before he was called Abraham, "said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herders and my herders, for we are kindred. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you take the right hand, then I will go to the left.' Lot looked about him and saw that the plain of the Jordan was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar." This was before the Lord had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. "So Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the plain and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord." Now, the sinners, the outsiders, these are the ones that Jesus Christ attracts. As we know about living in the darkness, and we can see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the One of Light, the Prince of Peace, who brings us a sword to cut ourselves free from our sinful past to live in harmony with God. In the parable today, Jesus Christ said, "But when the king came in to look at the guest, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Now, this is the same God who destroys Sodom, and then when Jesus Christ comes into the world, tells us to love our enemies. That's a strange connection to us. But God always, always gives us the opportunity, the chance to go to the wedding, the chance to join in the revolution that Jesus Christ has brought to us. The man wasn't wearing a wedding garment. Pardon me, but didn't God order his servants to pick up people from the streets? How many of us go around wearing wedding garments just in case some rich ruler invites us to a wedding banquet? If we go into the revolution, though, the wedding banquet, and do as Jesus Christ has commanded us to do, love your enemies, love your neighbor as yourself, and finally to love one another, then we are dressed in the finest of wedding garments. If we use the sword that Jesus Christ brought to us to cut ourselves off from our sinful, destructive, lustful past, then we clothe ourselves in the love of Jesus Christ. This is our wedding garment. And this man had not done that. He was no better than those that God had originally invited to the wedding feast. He came into the wedding hall, but he didn't take into his heart and his soul the message that Christ came into the world to bring us, to love our enemies, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love one another. This is the message that God gives to the wedding guest. This is the message that God gave to those in the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. Stop your sinning. Begin to live in the covenant of God. Because the message that we don't want to hear, particularly here in America, where we feel that we are special, that our nation is blessed by God, that God can't or won't extirpate us here in the wonderful country that God has given to us? Are we like those originally invited to the wedding feast, but as Jesus Christ said in the parable, they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them? Is that what we are doing as a nation and as individuals, one to his farm, another to his business? Is it business as usual here in the good old USA? We call ourselves a Christian nation. Well, are we? Or are we like the sons-in-laws of Lot, laughing at God, laughing at the prospect that America itself could be extirpated? Are we like the man who got into the wedding feast but didn't have the wedding garment on? By studying God's word, by worshiping God, by living the life that Jesus Christ said for us to live, especially to love your enemies, to love your neighbors as yourself, and to love one another. You know, there are some among us, indeed too many of us, who feel that is very, very foolish talk. That way makes us weak, and gets us invaded by terrorists. Many others feel the reason we decline is because we have allowed millions of poor neighbors into our nation in search of that American good life that most of us lead. Perhaps one of the reasons our country prospers so much is so that we can share these blessings from God with others. Do you hear me? Share these blessings that we have been given from God. We are to share these blessings with others. Certainly, this is a message that the wealthy people of America and all over the world need to hear, that only by sharing God's wealth can you truly have God's blessings. There is an odd incident that happened almost 200 years ago that serves as a reminder of how much God loves and protects us, and also how God can use the power to extirpate us at any time. This happened during the War of 1812. This is August 1814, and Washington, D.C. was attacked by the British and occupied. Not many people know about this. The War of 1812 is called the Forgotten War. The British had won a battle with the American forces at Blandinsburg, Maryland, just a few miles from Washington, and essentially our capital was at the mercy of the British. Well, they began to burn down Washington. First the Capitol, then the White House, and every building in Washington, D.C. was in flames except the Library of Congress. Washington could burn to the ground, and the British could wipe our nation's capital off the face of the map. But then, 26 hours after they invaded, something strange happened. The strongest hurricane ever to hit Washington, D.C., recorded in modern history, swept over the British troops, killing more than they had lost in the battle. The heavy rains of the hurricane put out the fire and saved Washington, D.C., and saved our young nation. Was it God's hands? I believe so. That God would save our infant nation, that God's power of extirpation that was turned against the British can also be turned against us if we don't begin to follow what Jesus Christ says. With that power of God goes a warning, too. What God gives, God can take away. That God could begin to feel that we've had enough warnings, that we are sinners all, that not enough righteous can be found in all of America, that we have turned God's house into places of political power to be used to enrich those high in the church at the expense of those forgotten ones, those in prison, the elderly, the sick, the homeless, the helpless, and the hopeless. Love your neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love one another. That's what we have to do to be clothed properly at the wedding feast, to keep from God's extirpation. Come to the wedding feast and join the revolution. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us the strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil and the sinful world, you can change that. You can have God help you either become included in this wedding feast, or you can become an includer. You can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now in the twinkling of an eye right here on the radio. You're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door those who may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth. If your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but you can pray with me right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And then follow this up. This coming Wednesday evening, you find a church close by, no matter what denomination. Listen to me, no matter what denomination, and if you're physically able, you go there. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. Bible study is the very best way to get to know God, by studying His Word and prayer. And then next Sunday, you go to church, any church, but go. Go to Sunday school and then go to church, worship service. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church. Forget about denomination. And look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. This is a reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. You find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party, and find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. Perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. And Pat and I had a surprise as our youngest son, Patrick, the Navy rescue swimmer, came flying through here in his Navy helicopter from his home base in Maryland. He and his crew members, Matt, Mark, and John, yes, he really does fly with the three apostles, were on their way to San Diego and stopped overnight at the Joint Reserve Base. And so we got to visit for a while. It was wonderful. Mom had tears in her eyes. We are so proud of Patrick and all of his crewmates. We're proud of all of our troops. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where we gave the worship service this morning. Hello to all of our shut-ins joining us, no matter where you are. Some of you listen to us on the internet. Thank you so much. You are a blessing to Pat and me. Please write or email me, and let's work together for the love of Jesus Christ to become a reality in your life and those around you. Be sure to keep posted on the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries by going to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is requested by my very own bride, Pat. She wanted to hear this group sing this song. This is the Christian rock group Mercy Me from their album Almost There, singing a song called... Come on, guys.
I can only imagine.
Thank you.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still. Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, one will my heart feel. Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
That was Mercy Me singing I Can Only Imagine, played as a request for Pat. Mercy Me is appearing this evening in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's Elvis's birthplace. Please come back next time we're here on the radio. And a personal note, this concludes the first year that the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries has been on the air. We'll try and have a little birthday cake next week if we can. Anyway, I can't believe it's been a very wonderful, wonderful year. Oh, it's a God-blessed year. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.